now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
If you do not push a key in 3 seconds, you will be disconnected.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
Good evening. The program is Brain Damage. It's 8 minutes after 10 o'clock, and I'm Eric Corley with you until the next, well, for the next 2 hours, until the stroke of midnight or what have you. It's another one of those miserable days where the temperature just keeps going up and everybody gets really crabby and annoyed at each other. I've noticed that. I've noticed that all over the place. People just, they just move so much slower and they get in your way more, and oh, it's bad for us. It's bad for us as human beings to have to be subjected to this day after day. Now, I'm not saying there's much we can do about it, but perhaps if we all think positively, this kind of thing will go away. Let's look at the weather forecast and see if that's true. The outlook for what? Where are we today? Today's Saturday night. Considerable cloudiness with a chance of thunderstorms. Low tonight, 70 to 75. High Sunday, 80 to 85. And the outlook for Monday: mostly sunny, very warm, and humid. Well, it's quite obvious that you weren't trying hard enough there. If we all sort of pitch in a little bit more, we might be able to break this yet. Currently, it's 25 degrees. That's, 77 on the Fahrenheit scale. That doesn't sound too bad. Inside the studio, however, I'm going to keep doing this until the temperature goes down here. It's 31 degrees inside. That's 88 on the Fahrenheit scale, just so you folks know what we have to deal with here. It's fine. We love doing this stuff. No problem at all. Yeah. Our number is 632-6901. How hot is it in your house? Give us a call and let us know. We're really interested. We're going to take a look at the news, and we're going to have a guest speaker tonight. a very important guest speaker, so if you want to talk before the guest speaker starts blabbing away, call now, because that's the only way you're going to get through until later on. 632-6901, area code 516. If you get through, let the phone ring until we finish reading the news, because that's important. Diplomats are hailing a breakthrough in efforts to end the Iraq-Iran war. Note the reversal there. I call it the Iraq-Iran war because everyone else does it the other way, and no one knows why. Iraq's president today dropped his demand for direct talks with Iran before a ceasefire is declared. Saddam Hussein says he'll now agree to a truce if Iran promises to hold face-to-face talks immediately after the ceasefire. There's been no reaction yet from Iran or from the UN Secretary General, who's been trying to arrange a ceasefire, but diplomats say the announcement opens the way for a peace proclamation. Hussein's announcement is being welcomed in Washington. The State Department says this moves the peace process forward. Yes, the State Department is very astute. At least 500 deaths are feared in the rain-swollen Ganges, thank you, of India. The report from United News of India comes after a ferry crowded with more than 500 Hindu pilgrims capsized. One reporter says 38 bodies have been recovered while many remain trapped in the submerged boat. About 1,000 people in Ellsbury, Missouri, are staying away from their homes following a fiery freight train accident. 14 cars of the train derailed after the train hit a diesel fuel tank, which then exploded. The train also damaged a grain elevator and a storage tank containing a potentially hazardous substance. President Reagan and Senate Armed Services Committee Chairman Sam Nunn swapped barbs today over Reagan's veto of the $300 billion Pentagon spending bill. In his weekly radio address, Reagan charged that the measure would have tied his hands in arms talks with the Soviet Union. Speaking for the Democrats, Nunn accused Reagan of playing politics by vetoing the measure. A little more than a week before the Republican National Convention, George Bush has yet to announce his selection of a running mate, but GOP delegates are indicating a willingness to go along with anyone he chooses. That's according to an Associated Press survey, which also indicates that the delegates favor Jack Kemp or Bob Dole, two of Bush's former rivals, to round out the ticket. Interesting. I'm hearing music in my ears. How come I'm hearing music in my ears? Could you maybe throw him into another... Yeah, that'd be good. There's music coming over my ears, and it's a serious problem when that happens and you're not playing any music. But it's something we'll deal with. Wait a minute. How could I be getting music over my ears when that channel isn't up? Wow, this is amazing. I'm getting music from somewhere, but I don't know where. I don't know if the folks at home can hear the music, but I hear the music very, very loudly here. And I'm not going crazy, folks. I'm not going nuts here. I hear it's kind of like industrial-type music.
Is that better?
But I'm hearing music, and I don't know where it's coming from. It's like I'm playing a record, but...
Is it kind of like guitar-heavy stuff?
Yeah, so... But I don't have anything up that would explain why I'm hearing it.
I think the headphones just pick up the sound.
The headphones just pick it up. Okay, well, that's a good reason, I guess. If you put him in audition, he won't have any problem, and then I can do what I have to do.
Okay.
All right? Okay. Sorry about that, folks. These kind of things happen occasionally. It's what we call technical consultations or something like that. Getting back to the news... Yes, evangelical leaders meeting in Rosemont, Illinois, are calling on their churches to make more of an effort to get new members. They've concluded that the churches are losing their hold on the hearts and souls of Americans because they are too busy raising money and taking care of their own. And nurses and other hospital workers have been flown in to deal with strikes by nurses in the San Francisco area. The number of hospitals involved in the job action has risen to 8. The walkouts have forced the latest hospital involved to cancel elective surgery and accept only emergency admissions. Let's see what President Reagan's doing tonight. He's usually very busy, but sometimes he talks to us. So we're giving him a call right now, and then we'll get to the state news. Oh, he's busy again. Well, you know, it's good to have a president that's busy rather than one that just sort of wiles around on Saturday nights. But we'll try him again later. In the state news, there's no evidence to suggest that consumption of marine fish should be restricted in the wake of the recent wash-up of medical waste and garbage on New York and Long Island beaches. That from DEC Commissioner Thomas Jorling and State Health Commissioner David Axelrod. The two said there was no reason to suspect that the sanitary condition of marine fish, lobster, or crabs had been affected by the waste that has washed up on New York beaches in recent weeks. Some of that waste included vials containing AIDS-tainted blood. Fish do not carry or transmit the AIDS virus. One more reason to consider, perhaps, being a fish. It's 15 minutes after 10 o'clock, 26 degrees Celsius. The president is still busy, and we're going to move on with our program here. Last chance, anyone wants to call in with their comments for the week. Temperature readings from their home, 632-6901, area code 516. Better get to it, because once we read the weather, we are going into our guest speaker. 26 degrees Celsius. And, I'm sorry, what? Yeah, if you could do that, that way the transition will sound a lot smoother. Thank you. We do all these things behind the scenes so that you don't know what's really going on. It's 26 Celsius, and that comes out to be 79 on the Fahrenheit scale. We're expecting it to be cloudy tonight with a chance of thunderstorms, low tonight 70 to 75, and the high on Sunday 80 to 85. Winds south around 10 miles per hour, but gusty near thunderstorms. Chance of rain 40% tonight and 50% Sunday. The outlook for Monday is, yes, mostly sunny, very warm and humid. And that's the way it is. Well, no calls, so we are going to go directly into our special guest, which if you tuned into the program a few weeks ago, you may have heard us calling up this place called Freedom Village and ordering a tape. Well, the tape came, and this is for all you people that listen to rock music quite a bit. You may have wondered why it is that everybody knows you're going to hell. Well, now explain very clearly and expeditiously for you is the Reverend, well, I don't have his name in front of me. I believe he's the Pastor Brothers or Brother Pastors or something like that. Both names are in there somehow. And he'll explain to you how not only are those of you who listen to the lyrics going to hell, but those of you who even listen to the instrumentals, because the very sound of rock music is enough. So, why not listen to this? Take some notes if you feel like it, and afterwards, after it's all over, we'll talk about it. So, without any further ado, from Freedom Village, USA, some words of wisdom here on Brain Damage.
You have your scriptures handy. Let's go tonight to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 32. When you have found Exodus chapter 32, just put your finger there or marker there. I want to talk to you tonight on the subject of what's wrong with rock music. I have been preaching against rock music for a long time. There were times or years and days when it was a very lonely subject to talk about. You were considered a wacko. You were considered to be just a fundamental Bible thumper. And yet in recent days, even the President of the United States, school teachers, parents, educators, politicians of all sorts have come out and said this stuff is bad. So it's not just us fundamentalists that are saying it any longer. It's about anybody that has a lick of sense in their head that deals with young people. There is no way in this world that you can deny the effect that rock music has on young people. When we started several years ago, we had to talk about backward masking. Well, we don't have to talk much about backward masking anymore. It's frontward masking that's vulgar and filthy and satanic. We talked about free love and the suggestion of free love and the infiltration of drugs into rock music. We don't have to talk much about that anymore. That's pretty well bygone old kindergarten stuff. Today we talk about suicide. We talk about Satan worship, the occult. We talk about rock stars that have satanic seances before they go on the stage. We talk about rock stars that openly in magazines make quotes about trying to cast demons into records before young people buy them. Matter of fact, rock music, the rock industry is changing so rapidly that I'm not talking to you much tonight about the lyrics or mention much about individual bands because it just waxed worse and worse and worse every day. The other day, there was a newspaper article where they've now handed down in New Jersey 117, I think, indictments against one group. And they are proving now that organized crime is behind rock music to a great degree. Well, that's nothing shocking. Organized crime is behind drugs. Organized crime is behind prostitution. So why not get involved in the music that's turning our young people into sluts and turning our young people into potheads and drug heads and all the rest of the stuff? So that doesn't come as a great surprise either. But the bottom line is, I will say again, as I've said so many times, I believe that rock music is the number one enemy of a teenager today in America. Yes, that listen, there would be drugs without rock music, but nowhere as near to the degree that we have it today. There would be teen suicide without rock music, but nowhere to the degree that we have it today. There would be rebellion, but nowhere as near to the degree that we have it today. And I believe now, in my 12 years of dealing in the ministry with young people and before that, and I believe that having dealt directly with thousands of young people, and I believe that operating one of the largest homes for troubled young people in America qualifies us to know a little bit about the subject. And I can't remember the time when I took any young person into this facility who was involved in drugs, who was involved in extramarital or premarital sex, whose life had been destroyed through maybe abortion, or whose life was messed up at home, that they were rebellious, that they were in the sewer, if you will, of life. I can't remember ever taking a young person in those circumstances, that rock music did not play a major part in their life. So we don't have to go, I don't think, any longer and prove that rock music is bad. You only have to listen to the news accounts. You only have to read your newspaper. As recently as yesterday, this headline in the USA Today newspaper, 10/30/86. This is the third update I've done on the What's Wrong with Rock Music message in just the last 3 or 4 years. And from the time I recorded the last update till now, it has blatantly gotten much worse. We're going to talk a little bit about the lyrics, or the general lyrics, the general trend. You know what's wrong with most of those lyrics? I can't read them to you. You know, we used to be able to read the lyrics we were talking about. Now we can't even read the lyrics because they talk about sadomasochism. They talk about anal rape. They talk about cutting the skin off from kids and watching them bleed to death. I kill children. I love to see them die. I kill children. I love to watch their mothers cry. They're blatantly satanic. They suggest having sex with the devil. They suggest killing your parents. The vile filth and garbage of this world is blatantly sung now in rock music. So we can't talk much about the specific lyrics per se because they change every day. If I were to read to you Motley Crue's album, by the time this tape was produced and sent out, it would be old hat because Motley Crue will come out with something more vulgar in the days to come. Mr. Ozzy Osbourne is always thinking up new trash, new filth, new garbage, a new way of enticing people. He's got a new satanic theme now that he's running with in his concerts. And it gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. We print a rock music report, and quite honestly, by the time the ink is dry, new things have come along to horrify people who love God and love morality. But there are certain things about rock music that never change. We'll deal with those things tonight. Steve Booker was a normal 13-year-old kid. But as he entered the world of rock music, he became defiant and antisocial and spent hours at a time listening to music such as the Kiss groups earlier on and the AC/DC, and then it went on and on and on and started. You know, it's an interesting thing, but Kiss seems so mild today. You know, AC/DC seems so mild today. Compared to people that masturbate on stage and have oral sex on stage and or anal sex and all types of things advocated now and openly to our young people. You know, AC/DC with its album covers and all the rest of it earlier on, you know, it's so passive. to album covers that actually portray demons and witchcraft and Satanism. You know, that which horrified 2 years ago even seems mundane today because of the new horrors that are being propagated by rock music. As typical parents, his family had no idea that the LPs that were filled with songs about drugs and rebellion, or that AC/DC sang songs of revolt and self-destruction. However, on March 27, 1981, when Steve propped the gun against the floor, put the barrel to his forehead, and pulled the trigger, the Bookers began to search for an answer to the question asked by all parents who lose a child to suicide, why? The answer came through Steve's music, mentioning several suicidal and violent songs from Steve's favorite tapes. The father said anyone would have to be a fool to think that it had no influence. We're not saying that he killed himself only because he listened to music or to the lyrics like this, but if it was in his mind and he already had this suggestion, the music gives suicide credibility. It promotes it, encourages it, and advertises it. John Tanner, a young man that we had on our television program, showed his story. At age 16, he moved from a big city to a small Midwestern town. He felt he needed to, quote, act tough and look tough. Part of his new image included listening to drug-promoting, self-destruction songs by Black Sabbath, groups like Blue Cheer, Led Zeppelin, and Grand Funk Railroad. Now, those are old groups. Before suicide was even a popular message. Yet they know of 38 people who have killed themselves because of one popular song. There's a lawsuit about it right now, so I can't get into it. But 38, they've traced 38 kids who've killed themselves from one song. Alice Cooper sang a song about going out and hanging yourself. And they have found as many as 16, I believe, is the last count, 12 to 16 young people that they know of who've gone out and hung themselves after listening to that song. We find stories of the young man down in Eden, North Carolina, who jumped off a bridge in front of a car, left a suicide note, said, "Tell the Scorpions their number one fan has come to join them. I've flown to the rainbow because their song says, fly to the rainbow. You're not a part of this world. You're part of a mystical world." And so a boy writes out in a note and says, "Tell the Scorpions I've flown to the rainbow." And he walks out onto I-40 and jumps off in front of a car and kills himself. I believe that Derry would tell you that his daughter might well be alive today if it were not for the influence of rock music that got her into the drugs, that got her into the rebellion. What comes first, the chicken or the egg? Rock music comes, and then comes the drugs, and then comes the rebellion. And my friend, it'll suck you in just like a giant vacuum cleaner. It sucked John Tanner in. Of course, the thoughts of suicide, quote, were instantaneous, but they did come. Thoughts, he insists, came directly from his music. I, quote, think from being real dedicated to Black Sabbath because they are really depressing, that I got from them a real deep depression, and I'd say that that's where the suicide stemmed from. And in a desperation move one night, John finally decided to end his life and to find the, quote, peace and happiness, quote, Black Sabbath promised would come, quote, at the end of his days. He skipped school and stayed in his room all day listening to albums, especially Black Sabbath and Grand Funks. By 5:15 p.m., the music had done its work. John was psyched up enough to place a shotgun to his chin and pull the trigger. Miraculously, John lived, but his entire face had been blown away. Quote, "I thought I'd pull the trigger, and then I wouldn't feel any pain." John explains, but life-saving and reconstructive procedures have cost John much pain, as well as time and money. Eric Anderson of St. Louis Park, Minnesota, became interested in rock music when he was about 11. And though his parents didn't particularly like the music, they never considered that it might harm their son. Soon, he acquired a tape collection of his favorite groups, Van Halen, Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne, AC/DC, Quiet Riot, and Motley Crue, and had his walls covered with bizarre posters. It wasn't long before Eric and his friends were listening to heavy metal rock music day and night. The family had MTV on cable, and his mother, Marge, says, quote, "Eric was known to have stayed up and watched it until 6 in the morning." Though the Andersons knew that their son was hurting and tried to communicate with him, neither thought his music was affecting him. However, the night before he died, Eric and his friends even held a séance in which they attempted to contact the spirits of the dead, dead rock stars. The next day, he placed a .22 rifle to his head and did the bidding of his hero, Ozzy Osbourne, who sings, quote, "Suicide is the only way out," end quote. It was only after his tragic death that his parents realized that the sensitive boy, who loved his family and didn't want to hurt them, had become convinced by his heavy metal music that suicide was the only solution. Our Father, I pray tonight that as we take a good look at this subject of rock music, I pray you'd open our minds. I pray you'd open our hearts. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd speak to hearts tonight, not only those in this room, but those that would hear this tape. Dear God, might we in some small way have a bearing on them to sit up and realize and think for a few moments about the wicked, evil influence of this music. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. I said that we couldn't talk about much of the lyrics or many of the new groups, but the vulgarity and the filth and the garbage that is going on amongst the new groups is just absolutely filth. We have songs today that talk about incest. We have songs today that advocate suicide, as I've mentioned. We're also moving into sadomasochism. We're moving into killing of babies. We're moving into pedophilia ideas of having sex with children. Macrophilia, where we're going to have sex with the dead. and on and on it goes. Interesting, here in 1030-86 in this USA Today newspaper article, it says, troubled teens turn to music, not mom. Just read the first couple of paragraphs. Kids in trouble will turn to music, drugs, friends, and even video games before they'll talk to their parents or other adults, a new survey shows. Listening to music was the copping out technique and coping technique of choice amongst 3,600 rural Minnesota teens surveyed by the University of Minnesota Medical School. The teens ranked 54 coping options, including talking with their parents and other adults, but that was near the bottom of the list. Moms were 31st and dads 48th out of 54 coping techniques for young people. Listening to music was the number one idea for coping for these teenagers. I keep hearing people say that there's nothing wrong with rock music. But I believe tonight that there are hundreds and thousands of young people, like those young people I read to you of just a few moments ago, who would be alive today. Young people who have killed themselves either intentionally or accidentally because of the effects of rock music. People say to me, Pastor, what's wrong with rock music? Everything. There's not one thing right with rock music. And there are four very specific M's about rock music, of which I want to talk to you about tonight. Four M's of rock music. First is what I call the music itself, or let's talk about the beat. Dr. Joe Stuzzi, who, by the way, himself was a former professional rock musician, said this in an interview in September of 1985. Number one, he said, music does affect behavior. It affects our moods, our attitudes, our emotions, and our behavior. It affects us psychologically and physiologically. How many of you go into the dentist in your life? How many of you go to the dentist? Okay, how many of you like going to the dentist? Okay, let's mark those that are sadomasochistic. We have some. You like going to the dentist, Brian? It turns you on, huh? Gives you a great buzz. You what? You don't get, he doesn't get cavities that way. What's the first thing that happens when you walk into the dentist? Have you ever noticed that they play some music? Huh? Let me ask you what kind of music they play. Huh? Do they play the bebop, get out there and boogie to boogie to boogie to boogie to boogie type of music? Huh? Huh? They play Kmart music. All right. What kind of music do you think that... Nice, easy-going, soft music. You know why they do that? They want to relax you. Now, first of all, can I tell you something? They can play all the music they want to. They will never relax me in a dentist waiting office. I don't care what. They'll never relax me in that office. They'll never relax me in that chair. And Mrs. Jackson back there, my secretary, will tell you that I hold the record. I probably have broken more dental appointments than any man living on the face of the earth. I look forward to breaking them. I look for excuses to break them. I pray in the morning, dear God, help some emergency come up so that I can break my dental appointment. Matter of fact, I'll say to Brother Norman, you call me and tell me we got a big problem about 11 o'clock because I got a dental appointment at 11 o'clock and I want you to... Matter of fact, I will drag my feet. I will leave the office late, trying to hold out for the last moment to see if somebody might call and there might be some reason I can break that appointment. I don't like going to the dentist. But they play that nice, soft, easy music, don't they? Huh? That's to get your mind off the pain that is about to take place in your body, okay? You say, no sweat, Pastor. You don't have to worry about the pain because they'll give you Novocaine. That's right. That's when they take that needle 18 inches long and stick it right straight out through the top of your head. You're a dummy if you believe that, friend. They come and say, I'm going to give you a shot of Novocaine so you won't feel it. Then they lie to you and tell you you're only going to feel the first couple of pricks. You're right. You're only going to feel the first couple of pricks with that needle, until the Novocaine wears off. Then you find out that dodo used you for a pincushion. And all them other things that you couldn't feel, they're sore than the devil now. You come back from the dentist's office, you try to drink some coffee or some water, it dribbles down your chest. I mean, you look like a slob. You know what the interesting thing is? There's nothing to this. So how come you're putting that bib on me? That's a good indication somebody's going to bleed. And you'll notice the nurse doesn't have one on. And the dentist doesn't have one on. You're the one that's got it on, right? So what they do, they play this nice, easy, relaxing music. Why? Because music affects. If it doesn't, sometime when you get your first speeding ticket, well, there's a up-tempo song on the radio. You remember I told you that. You're driving along and you got easy listening music on or some nice easy gospel music on. There's nothing to it. But you get something that goes boogity 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 boogity. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to start going boogity 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 boogity. And the next thing you know, there's going to be some red lights behind you. Now you do this. You get out of the car and go back and say, Mr. Policeman, you aren't going to believe this. But you see, the problem was, I didn't listen to my pastor when he told me music affected me, and I am learning a good lesson right now, and you know what I've been doing? I've been going boogity, 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 boogity. And now, you wouldn't want to mess up my experiment and give me a ticket now, would you? And then that's going to be another lesson that you're going to learn about police officers. They don't buy those kind of stories, all right? Now, all right, Dr. Susie said it affects our moods, it affects our attitudes, it affects our emotions, and it affects our behavior. Now, they have done scientific studies with monkeys. Very close to some of you dorm boys. They have done scientific studies with monkeys. And they have been able to drive monkeys to frenzy with music and actually get them to perform sexual relations in the cages by simply stimulating them through music. They have been able to drive certain animals. I don't know whether they use rats or whether they use girls from girls' dormitory, but they have been able to drive certain animals basically bananas. I thought it was interesting. A year or so ago, they captured or kidnapped one of our envoys over in Italy. It was interesting that the whole time they had him in captivity, when he got out and they tried to deprogram and they tried to brainwash him, they tried to do, he said, day in and day out, they pumped me with rock music. I thought that was interesting. Now, if you know anything about Nazi Germany, if you know anything about how Stalin and his boys operated in the Soviet Union, one of the things that they would use to try and drive people bananas, to break down their will, was they would put headphones on them and they would pump squealing, pulsating, vibrating sounds into their ears. And that would, I mean, that would penetrate their brain and cause damage. Now, Dr. Sissy goes on to say this, music can make us feel relaxed. It can make us feel scared. Isn't it interesting?
You're watching a horror story.
Huh? Mrs. Cotting comes out of a back, dark area. She's about ready to pounce on some poor, unexpecting little child. Along comes the good fairy, Mrs. Gilbert, on her hoverer, you know, her broom with a hover on it. Wow. All right. Here. We got a spooky story. Would you agree with me that there is music that they use in those spook type movies? You know, that's supposed to get you all nervous and jerky. You'll notice they don't play the Tennessee Waltz in a Halloween flick. Okay? Now, watch some of the old westerns. Somebody's just about ready to creep around the corner and shoot somebody, and there's certain... Haven't you ever wondered where the music came from? They're 500 miles out in the wilderness. Somebody's creeping around behind a captive. or cactus out there, and there's a whole orchestra out in the desert. Have you noticed that? Now, there is certain types of music that can be used to scare you. There are certain types of patriotic themes. You don't play the Star Spangled Banner at funerals. Do you? Would you agree with me tonight that there is some music you would consider funeral music? Now that is also interchangeable for weddings. Now, would you agree with me that there's patriotic music? Yes. Would you agree with me that there's funeral music? Yes. Would you agree with me that there's scary type music? Yes. Would you agree with me that there's relaxing type music? Yes. Matter of fact, there is also boogie type music. There is music that'll make you happy. There is music that will make you romantic. There is music that will pump you up. There is music that will depress you. Man, I tell you what, have a fight with your girlfriend or break up with your girlfriend or go through a breakup in a home or lose your love, if you will, and then turn on a country and western song and have some, I done lost my baby last night. She done dumped me for my best friend. Poor loser is he, sucker. You know, I mean, alright. Am I right? Alright, now. Right? Okay? Dr. Stussy noted something else. He said repetition increases our preference for that which is repeated. And it gives us retention of the message. Repetition causes us to like something more. The more you're around something, the more you'll get used to it. And it will also cause you to retain the message. You know what? I hear kids say, well, I don't listen to the lyrics. Well, how come you're singing them? You may not listen to them, but you've got them in your brain. Because I can take a song and do just a little bit and play fill in the lines, and you can fill them in. My son is 7 years old. We bought him a cathedral tape. He got a little radio and cassette recorder for his birthday, and we bought him a cathedral tape. You know what? He's got those songs memorized. We were playing it on the way to Rochester today and in the car, and Jeremy, you could hear him right in the back seat singing right in never. I mean, he was there. He knew them all. Now listen, we are programmable. And what I said to you this morning about the devil, listen to me, the devil knows how to program you. And I believe with all of my heart, the devil has programmed two generations of young people for absolute total destruction through his music. Now, the Bible teaches very plainly that for everything God has, the devil has a counterpart. And as I said to you this morning, the Lord has his music. But so does the devil have his music. You know what? He would not. Now, let's just think about this for a minute. The devil wouldn't be the devil if he didn't have music. The devil's got everything else God has. He has his apostles. He has his servants. He has his churches. He has everything else. Listen, the devil has to have his music because he has to have everything that God has. So what he has done is over recent years, listen, he did not come out in 1960s. He did not come out and say, all right, here's a song about sadomasochism. There's a couple of songs on here about worshiping the devil. Here's a song about sacrificing a friend to the devil. Here's a song about butchering your mother. And for our top 10 round out, this is called Murder by the Numbers, and it tells you to go out and kill people that you think are a bore. Bump off your entire family and whatever. Now, hold it now. Maddie, the rest of you, Mrs. Donnelly, some of you that have been around for years and years and years and years and years. Now, listen. Brother Decker was a pipsqueak in the 60s. How old are you now? 29, all right? 1960, let's see, let's go back 26 years ago. He was 3 years old. Can you see Brother Decker going in and saying, "Mommy, listen to the music, can you?" No. Okay? All right? So that wasn't, all right? He wasn't even born yet. I mean, really, he was 3 years old. He was a baby. You ask Maddie if her generation would have tolerated that trash. Let me tell you something, young people. You don't know this, but in my generation, and I was in school in the 60s, if some teacher had walked up and said homosexuality was all right, my dad and a bunch of other dads would have been down there and they'd have strung him up. And if any school board people had gotten in the way, they'd have been strung up. So the devil didn't come along with his sadomasochistic themes and his satanic themes and whatever. He came in with a group called the Beatles with a new hairstyle and a new beat. And everybody thought they were cute. And that one group right there has done more to destroy young people than any other group I can think of, because it was a beginning place. And from that day to this, it's continued to be a straight downhill slide. And the devil has known exactly what he... Act together. In the meantime, he took television. When did television get so wicked and so vile? I can remember when it was a pretty good thing. When did that happen? It's happened in the last 20-some-odd years. You see, he's been working, and he's been working, and he's been working. So the day that today a teenager, God bless you, I love you kids, but the sad thing is you kids have never seen a moral America. Hey, I can remember when Mom and Dad were to be honored and glorified. I can remember when we walked into school and we not only pledged the flag, but we prayed. Nobody died. No kid got hurt because of prayer. I can remember when teachers looked like teachers and didn't look like bums. I can remember when teachers had a morality about them. They weren't Baptist, they weren't Methodist, or whatever they were, but the honest, simple truth was they were moral. I can remember when God was not a dirty word. I can remember when love wasn't a four-letter filthy word. I can remember when it meant something. I can remember when children honored Mom and Dad, and husbands and wives stuck out and stayed together and made it happen. And I can remember when there was a patriotism, and I thank God we're on that backswing now. I see good things in America as far as patriotism. The sad thing is millions and millions and millions of our young people have been wrecked by the devil over the years, and millions of young people today are in hell and will spend eternity separated from God because they believe the devil's lies. Music affects. It affects our emotions. It affects our attitude. It affects our outlook. It affects everything about us. You say, "That's all right, Pastor, but I want to know if the Bible says anything about it." Let's go to Exodus chapter 32 right now. Let me paint the picture for you. Moses is on the mountain. He has received the Ten Commandments. The Lord said unto Moses, verse 7, "Go, get thee down, for thy people, whom thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." I want you to underline that word, corrupted. God said it. I didn't say it. You'll find out why they were corrupted in just a few moments. But God said, "Your people have corrupted themselves." Notice verse 8, "They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made to themselves molten calf, they have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These are thy gods." Interesting now. You'll notice they made one calf, but they use a plural there and they say, "These are thy gods." We're going to come back in a moment and talk about the "these." "These are thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." The Lord said unto Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot," or the word there is burn, "against them.
and that I may consume them, and I will make thee a great nation. Let's get down to verse 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hands. The tables were written on both of their sides, on the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God. The word is engraved or graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard, I want you to look at that next word. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. Now, let me ask you a question. If you know anything about history, what's a noise of war? A beat. You go back and study American history. Go back and study some of the primitive histories. There was a beat of war. Matter of fact, the American Indians probably have taught us more about the effects of beats. They didn't have music. Back when my great-great ancestors, I'm of partial Indian descent, back when Cookie's ancestors, my ancestors, were whooping it up, making whooping and noise, they'd start out with a beat. They'd start out with a chant. The next thing you know, that chant would pick up, and the beat would pick up. And they'd get a little bit of fire water in them. They'd start getting that beat picked up a little bit more. The frenzy would pick up a little bit more. So how do you know? I've watched a lot of cowboy Indian movies. The beat would pick up and the frenzy would pick up. The fire water would pick up. The beat would pick up and the frenzy would pick up until they got wild. And then they'd jump on their horses and go off and make war. Like General Custer said to one of his guys, he said, I don't know whatever got into those Indians. They were already at the dance last night. Now, they go off to war. But it wasn't war until the beat and until that effect of that beat had taken its toll. In the same token, Moses is coming down off the mountain and he said, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them who shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them who cry for being overcome. But by the way, it sounded like it. Neither is it the voice of them who shout for mastery, or in other words, being enslaved and beaten and screaming and hollering and wailing because they're being put into slave mastery. No, but it sounded like it. He said, neither is it them who cry for being overcome. You take and watch the news accounts. I watched one recently where one of the Middle East nations was bombing the other. I forget whether it was Iran or Iraq or Syria or whoever was involved. And they showed the women running through the streets wailing and screaming because they were being overtaken or being attacked. So it's a beat. It's a beat and it's a screaming and it's a hollering and it sounded to Moses like people being enslaved and people being overtaken. But the noise, verse 18, of them who sing do I hear. Now it sounded like the noise of war. But it was actually some goings-on that you're going to find out about in a few moments. But let's go back to a word. God said they corrupted themselves. This is part of that corruption. Pastor, what's wrong with rock music? The music itself is wrong. The beat is wrong. The type of music, what it does, and the screaming and the hollering and the beat and all the rest of it. By the way, you take that same beat and that same hollering and screaming and apply Jesus' words to it, doesn't change it a bit. Christian rock is just as bad as regular rock. Because it's the music.
you take a young lady and a young man. You know, it's pretty hard to do this to the Tennessee Waltz, you know? You know that there is a gyration. There is a frenzy. There is an effect that goes with that beat and with that music. And boy, if they can get animals to react to it, they're going to get you to react to it. And they know that. By the way, you can't listen to an up-tempo gospel song without your foot starting to tap. And you know that's true. Now, we use 4/4 time gospel music here, and it's interesting. I like to sit up here and watch your faces. Now, you know what? I don't have to listen to the beat of certain songs to tell whether I want to use it or not. All I got to do is watch out what it does to you. Now, young people, you know what I'm saying to you tonight is true. Music has an effect. All right? What else is wrong with the rock music? All right? Number two, the message is wrong. Hey, take sex, drugs, rebellion, suicide, murder, sadomasochism. Y'all know what sadomasochism is? Some of you look blank in your face. How many of you do not know what sadomasochism is? All right, good. Sadomasochism is like taking a young lady's body and cutting it to pieces. Songs that talk now about I had my ultimate sexual experience when I shoved my knife in her and ripped her up to her throat while I was having sex with her. That's sadomasochism. Songs now that advocate cutting bodies into pieces. That's sadomasochism. All types of filth and perversion and garbage. That's what rock's about now, folks. These heavy metal bands have removed all bars. Mr. Prince, that filthy pig. The joys of incest. So he might sue you when he hears that. I hope he does. The joys of incest. God pity his reprobate hide. He needs to get saved, get his life straightened out, and go do something with his life besides pervert young people's minds. Ozzy Osbourne's satanic messages. The filth and the garbage that comes across. Listen to me, young people. The "we ain't going to take it anymore" isn't going to be too funny when it's your kid putting his finger under your nose saying, "I ain't going to take it anymore." You laugh at it now, boy, and you think it's hot stuff now, but when it's your kid on the slab in the morgue, it's not funny. And you young people sitting in front of me and the young people that are listening to this tape have got a problem. The Bible says whatsoever you sow, you'll reap. Don't you forget it. And the devil knows that too. The devil's no fool. He knows what the Bible says. Whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. And you say, "Ah, Pastor, I don't believe this stuff. I don't think there's anything wrong with it." You tell me that when it's your 18-year-old girl and she's dead and they call you down to the morgue to identify her. Hey, you tell me there's nothing to this stuff if it's... Look where it's at now. Look at the filth it's advocating now. Wait until you've got a 13-year-old. I've watched this filth since 1960 right on down. I didn't know that "Lucy in the Sky and Diamonds" that the Beatles sang about was LSD. I didn't know that some of the songs the mamas and the papas were singing about you folks in my generation were advocating drugs. But the devil already had his messages in there.
If you have a reaction, give us a call now, 632-6901, area code 516, 632-6901.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook. The program is Brain Damage, and we've been listening to words of wisdom from Pastor Fletcher A. Brothers, who we had a tape sent to us from Freedom Village, USA, Lakemont, New York. And we also have been hearing music from Elvis Costello, Ozzy Osbourne, and Black Flag. And now we're welcoming your phone calls with your opinions and comments at 632-6901, area code 516. And we'd really like to know what your reaction to this is. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hey. How are you?
Hello. Can you speak up a little bit?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. Well, you know, I thought it was interesting. Actually, I think he's right in the sense that rock affects, you know, people like anything else, like TV and so forth.
Uh-huh.
Even if he was a bit paranoid, I mean, I suppose he was more worthy than those televangelists that... and I have nothing to do but yell and ask for money.
Uh-huh. Well, he wasn't asking for money, I'll say that. But have you noticed that kind of a reaction to the sound of a beat?
Oh, well, no, but I mean, not specifically, but I suppose, you know, we noticed the old movies about Nazism.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, all those bands playing. But of course, you know, music carries people along.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't think he was right about... he was definitely a bit paranoid about all this devil thing. But, you know, I think he had his points. After all, rock affects us all. Like, I suppose TV affects us more.
So what should be done?
Well, I mean...
First of all, is there a problem right now? Do you believe there is some kind of a problem with rock music?
Not really. See, ultimately, I think it has to lie with the people who listen to it. I mean, he mentioned about all these people, all these young kids, but, you know, we're supposed to have a mind to think about what we're listening to.
Uh-huh. Do you think that a particular song or a band can actually induce somebody to kill themselves or do something horrible?
I don't like that sort of music he was talking about, you know, Black Sabbath or whatnot, so I'm not sure what they actually say in their songs, but... I suppose if you're really distraught, and so, you know, but then again, if you're really distraught, everything can push you over.
Uh-huh.
As well, you know, a movie as a song, as anything. So.
Uh-huh.
I don't think anything in particular should be done about it, and I abhor those, I forget their name, but, you know, the people who are trying to put ratings on records and so forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But, you know, it was just fun to hear this guy, and I think he's more interesting than those other people who have nothing else to say but to ask for, you know, your cash.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, thanks very much for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 632-6901 is our telephone number. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hey, hi, Eric.
Hi, what's up?
Big Jim Doomsayer today. I heard some of the tape. I couldn't listen to it entirely because I was in mixed company and it was turning a lot of people off.
Uh-huh.
But
well, sorry about that, but sometimes we have to...
Well, I left and got in the car so I could listen to it in private because I wanted to hear what he had to say. And I think it was a bit redundant, but he had a lot of excellent points, which might surprise you coming from me, but the only thing that really turns me off is he uses religion as a way to... You know, the devil, because I don't believe in the God and the devil, you know, because I've always thought that that's simplistic thinking. That's like society needs, you know, the Bible and the church and Christ and everything. It's just good for the moral structure of society.
Uh-huh.
Equates all these things to the devil, and that turns me off because... You know, I would say that, you know, rock music never affected me. I wanted to commit suicide or anything. I always liked Black Sabbath, but I guess what he's saying is people are too feeble-minded to be able to handle the lyrics and things like that. They don't take the lyrics literally, but...
So we have to decide for them so that they won't hurt themselves.
But you can take anything to that, anything at all you can take to literally. I mean...
Well, last week we were talking about films, the same thing. Yes, you have to protect people from seeing things that might upset them or make them do nasty things.
It's really, you know, he talks about God. I hate when the preachers do that. He had a lot of good points, you know.
Well, what was a good point?
Well, he says that, you know, rock music, you listen to it in your car, and you might have a tendency to step on the accelerator. I've caught myself doing that.
Uh-huh.
You know, because you get a charge out of it, but, you know, you just got to watch yourself. You know, well, not everybody has a system like I have in a car either, you know. It's really good. I mean, it sounds good, and you can move, you know, maybe that's not a good point of what he was saying. He's talking about how things have gotten trashy. He says he's watched it since the 60s.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's everything to the devil, which is a mistake. You know, I don't like to see him do that. I would say that, yeah, there's a bit of entropy. Is that the right word to use, maybe? Things are getting disorderly, but that's only because the population has gotten bigger, like I always say. And the more people you're going to have, the more disorderly things.
We seem to have lost him.
Money went down. Now they're going to ring me, or we're on a payphone.
Oh,
right,
you're on
now.
A payphone. Well, okay, we have to go to another call, but thanks for calling with your opinions, and keep listening.
Yeah, sure, Eric.
Okay, take care. 632-6901 is our telephone number. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
I can't look over the...
Hi, how are you?
Pretty disappointed from what I just heard from that reverend guy.
Disappointed in what?
In what he said. I didn't hear about any of the phone calls, so I'm referring to what I think of it.
Uh-huh.
I think what he said was total garbage.
Okay, do you want to be specific?
Suicide. I listen to Motley Crue, I listen to Def Leppard, I listen to a lot of hard rock. I don't think of doing suicide. It's stupid. It's for those who like it, who enjoy it. He's referring to everyone. And not only that, why doesn't that reverend speak of the good things about rock music? Like,
uh-huh.
Concerts that benefit needy children, that gives homes to the homeless. What about that stuff?
Uh-huh.
And about that garbage about having sex with the devil and everything.
Well, that's a good way to stir people up and say, wow, we've got to do something about this. But, yeah, what you're saying about the lyrics, I'm looking, in fact, at the very same Ozzy Osbourne record that has this Suicide Solution song, which I'm not going to get into because that's open to interpretation, and there's more than many ways of looking at that, positive and negative. But on that same album, you see lyrics such as, Mother, please show the children before it's too late to fight each other. There's no one winning. We must fight all the hate. Now, that doesn't really sound like they're saying all that much that's very controversial and horrible.
Not only that, what bothers me even more, now they have Christian hard rock groups.
Now, what did you think about, he said that Christian music, the people who listen to Christian music are going to go to hell too. Because it's the music that's evil. It's not what we were talking about a few weeks ago where the words were bad. This is the very music, the very beat itself. So we've taken this one step further, and I think you can see the danger here because the beat, the actual sound, is evil. Now, how do you possibly stand up and justify something like that?
I don't justify that. I don't listen to that. I'm sure normal American teenagers, most don't. He's pointing out the kids who do. And he's not telling the whole story. He's just telling his half. Well, to be a good court case, you need both stories told to the judge. And he's acting like he's the judge, and he's only telling one side of the story.
Uh-huh. Listen to this lyric from Ozzy Osbourne off a song we played, actually, called Crazy Train. I've listened to preachers, I've listened to fools, I've watched all the dropouts who make their own rules. One person continued to rule and control. The media sells it, and you live the role. I don't think anything could wrap it up better than that. But we were listening to Pastor Fletcher Brothers, and I don't have that toll-free 800 number I called on the air a few weeks ago to get this tape, but...
I don't think anyone wants it, really.
Well, you know, this is good for parties, I think. it's a real conversation starter.
Listening to the National Enquirer.
Yeah, sort of like that, except a bit more dangerous, I think. The people who put this out, they're called Freedom Village USA. They're located in Lakemont, New York. 14857 is the zip code. That's the only address I have for them. And if for some reason you want a copy of this, you know, feel free to ask for one. They'll send it to you free of charge.
What is this with the dentist and everything?
Well, you see, I have my own theory about that. I think he was trying to imitate a Bill Cosby routine with the dentist stuff. I don't, you know.
He's not a preacher. He's a comedian.
He was trying, I think, to, well, from what he said a couple of times, made it clear that he was addressing a college crowd, probably some kind of evangelist college down in the South somewhere, and he was just trying to be funny.
Great job. Right.
Uh-huh.
It didn't fool me. He was putting out bull, and parents are going to listen to this. What are they going to think?
Uh-huh.
If he must have some, like, I don't know. He's just against hard rock music. He's just making himself famous in the world, saying that I was the one who stopped hard rock music. He's uh-huh. not going to do that because a lot of people like it. It's just music. As I said every single week, if you don't like it, don't listen to it. Don't tell other people what to listen to.
Sounds like good words. Well, thanks for calling, Andrew.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay. 632-6901 is our phone number. Our lines are open. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, this is Chris out in Port Jeff, and I don't know, I'd like to make one comment on the subject.
Go ahead.
All right. With the heavy metal music, it's the kids that do it itself, you know, like they take their own lives in their hands. You know, that's their problem, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not, it, you know, it sometimes can be the artist, you know. But, you know, we have a lot of good bands out there. You know, heavy metal, there's, you know, bands like Stryper, you know, they do stuff like, you know, without the devil, you know, they sing about, you know, not worshipping the devil. And
they sing about not worshipping the devil? Or?
Yeah, not worshipping.
Uh-huh.
You know, I believe that, you know, in different points of music, you know, I think that there's something more than, like, fast cars, fast women, and drugs, you know, and, you know, we must sing about, you know, political issues, you know.
Yeah, well, now, the kind of music that sings about political issues, such as maybe Bruce Coburn, The Clash, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you they, do kind of thing.
They tend not to get any airplay on the radio, and I think there's a conscious effort to tone down that kind of thing, the real thought in rock music, because if there is real thought there, and if people actually do pay attention to the lyrics, it could potentially be a powerful source of some kind of social change or something nasty like that.
Yeah.
Whereas singing about just sex and drugs and rock and roll and an occasional satanic line just keeps it kind of interesting for the kids but doesn't really say anything.
Uh-huh. But, you know, there should be benefits like Amnesty International. I know they're having one this summer. And, you know, it's always helpful to have heavy metal bands there, you know, even if they do sing about that kind of stuff, you know.
Uh-huh.
As long as they're doing the benefit itself, you know. And, you know, if they're willing to do that kind of stuff, you know, that's their problem. You know, I don't think that's the artist that does it. I think it's them, their own mind, you know, doing it. I wouldn't blame it on the artist itself, but, you know, that's their problem. So that's what I'd say on that. So, okay?
All right, thanks so much for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
632-6901 is our telephone number, area code 516. We were going to go to the other side of the tape, but I've just been informed that the other side of the tape is blank for some reason. It's okay, I have another copy at home, and that one isn't blank, and I can bring that in a future date and get to that. But unfortunately, we don't have the second half of it, and he says some pretty bizarre things, some nasty things, too, which I don't even want to repeat because they're really offensive, in my opinion. But they're sitting there on another tape, so we'll get to that in a week to come. Meanwhile, though, we'd like to hear your reaction to this. Does this guy, this is what I'd like to know, does this guy, to those of you who listen to music, to rock music, can he or people like him be taken seriously? Is he a significant threat? Can he affect the way albums sound? And when I say he, I don't mean him specifically. I mean him and the many people like him, people at the PMRC, other evangelists, strange-thinking people that might actually believe that the beat of rock music can do something to you. Now, can that kind of thought actually affect record companies and artists and the things we listen to? Let us know. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, you're talking about... This is Sammy.
Hi, Sammy. How you doing?
How you been, Eric? Yeah, I'm calling about the rock and roll lyric. You
okay.
said that lyrics could be really bad for the people listening to them?
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm reading an album right now. It's an Elvis Presley album. And on the album it says, "That's All Right." That's the first song. "That's All Right."
An Elvis Presley album?
Rock and roll. That's all right.
Okay.
And the next thing it says, "I love you because." Now, how the heck in a lyric like that, "I love you because"? How can that be evil for the people?
Well,
but then you take the Ozzy Osbourne, the fairies have boots and they really believe me. That's weird stuff. I've heard that. That's crazy. All right, now look, down at the rest of this album here, it says, "Don't be cruel." That's what Elvis says. He said, "Don't be cruel." Well, no, yeah, Ozzy Osbourne says, "Shoot yourself in the head." That's crazy.
Now, where does Ozzy Osbourne say, "Shoot yourself in the head"?
On his album. Some kind of suicide solution.
Okay, I've got that song right in front of me, right here.
Okay, I'll read my album, you read your album.
Okay, wine is fine, the whiskey's quicker, suicide is slow with liquor, take a bottle, drown your sorrows, then it floods away tomorrows.
Okay, well, now I'll have to concede to you, because that sounds like something that Fats Domino would have read.
I don't know about
that's
that.
That's really poetry, that's poetry, that's the blues. That's the blues, and...
Well, you see, the thing is, Sammy, he's singing about a subject. He's taken a subject, suicide, and is singing about it from the point of view of someone who is depressed and who feels that suicide is the only way out. Now, are we going to say that's dangerous? You can't do that. You can't pretend you're someone who's going to commit suicide, meaning you can't sing this way, you can't act this way, you can't even theorize as to what a suicidal person might be thinking because someone's going to overhear that and think the wrong way. Are we actually going to start feeding that out to people?
Oh, no, I agree to the point, but there's something, I don't know, there's just something about that hard meadow stuff, like love me tender. You can't interpret that any two ways. That means it. That love me tender, baby.
But nice, simple stuff, you know, and sometimes the simple music is the best.
It's the alcohol that they just sang about. We've been singing the blues about cocaine and all that alcohol and gin. The gin is bad. I know a guy, Steven Citron, he drink gin, he'd be a madman. Any other time, he's a pussy whip, you know?
Uh-huh.
But here's a song about that, just as Elvis said, "A fool such as I." That's Steve Citron, that's for sure. "A fool such as I." And, I don't know. Everything on an album is only for the independent, personal interpretation. And, tonight, "It's All Right for Love." That's what's another album on here. That's not a record on here. "Are You Lonesome Tonight?" And "I Can't Help Falling in Love." But that Ozzy Osbourne, I don't like him.
Well, I'm not especially fond of Ozzy Osbourne myself. I don't want to give the wrong impression here, but as far as saying something, as far as lyrics that simply give a point of view, it's wrong to ban something like that, to say that's wrong. And besides, this preacher isn't stopping at Ozzy Osbourne. He's going to everybody that has a rock beat. Now, think of all the different artists. I mean, that's Carly Simon. That's James Taylor, for God's sake. That's all those people. They're all evil because they have a rock beat.
That's where he is from. I used to be in a Baptist church.
Uh-huh. Well, do they believe in such things there?
Well, they think stuff that they just don't like that Black Sabbath, you know, just the name Black Sabbath is a little witch
uh-huh.
type stuff, you know?
Well, now, names are, you choose a name to grab attention, you know, and that gets attention.
Sure is. Like on an album, on an Animals album. You got any Animals album there in the station?
Oh, sure, we got a lot of those.
You got Boom Boom by the Animals.
Uh-huh.
I got it right in front of me. And don't let me be misunderstood. And maybe that should be Ozzy's song. Because everybody's misunderstood the man. He bit a head off a bat. And I don't understand that.
I don't understand that either. I don't try to understand those kind of things.
Put a song by Ozzy here. He should sing this one. When he gets in a hotel and they don't want him there, "We Gotta Get Out of This Place" by the Animals. That's Ozzy Osbourne's song, "I Can't Help It." And then, of course, when he don't pay his bill, there's another song here that says, "I'm Mad." I'm going to send you back to Walker.
Well, you've got the whole thing figured out, don't you?
The lyrics, this is the three little words that you've got to say in any kind of song. That originally was, there was even this movie about that, was "I Love You." Or "I'm Leaving You." One or the other, but anyway, that's what song is supposed to originally be about.
Well, songs are about all kinds of things today, Sammy. They're about everything.
Here's another one.
Political things.
Everybody has their own thing. It's my life, and I'll do what I want to do.
Well, that's what it all boils down to. That's what we're trying to say here, I think.
House of the Rising, etc., you know. And then when everything gets bad, there's another song for you. I'm crying.
Are you about finished?
Well, I don't have any more arms with
okay, me. Yes, that's good. Well, Sammy, thanks very much for enlightening us there.
Hey, man.
And do keep listening and keep listening to that
I listen all the time.
Music.
The radio's on, but sometimes the guard turn it off.
Well, you know, that happens. Be good.
Okay, take it easy, Eric.
All right, bye-bye.
Good night.
632-6901, area code 516. He always has laughing people with him. That's an amazing thing about Sammy. 632-6901, area code 516. Let's get a couple more comments. I'd like to know if anyone out there agrees completely. Now, if you do agree or even have doubts about rock music, we won't jump on you. We just like to know. We just have some questions for you. That's all. We'd like to know why. You know, all that kind of thing. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, I think this is John from Setauket.
Hi, John.
How you doing? I think that he has the right, well, not him individually, but I think that if maybe the government gets involved and some other people get involved in this, that they do have the right to ban certain types of music, not just the music that they're talking about, not just rock in general, because not all rock is bad.
Uh-huh.
I think that they can ban the certain types of rock that, you know, has had the, you know, satanic messages within the lyrics, and because it's a bad influence on our youth.
Well, now, why just the satanic messages?
Well, because it has a bad influence on our youth.
Well, how about songs about drugs? How about songs about sex? Would you ban those?
I didn't mean just the songs of satanic messages, but the songs, you know, about drugs and about just the songs that say that or give the message that drugs is all right and that alcohol is all right and that suicide is all right. I don't think that's right, you know, that we should be giving the youth that message through rock.
Well, now, okay, who is we, though? You see, it's not, the music isn't just coming from one source. When you go through life, when you walk around outside, things are hitting you from all different angles. People aren't going to agree on anything. They're going to say drugs are good for you. They're going to say sex at an early age is good for you, and Satan is a fun guy. So shouldn't we be teaching our kids to evaluate all these different messages they're going to be getting rather than closing the door on the messages that don't suit our purposes? See what I'm saying?
Well, I think that is a fault of our own. I think we're giving different the kids, you know, different messages. We're saying on TV, we're say no to drugs, say no to alcohol, and then, you know, in return, they're going and listening to rock music that has these messages in them that says it's all right to do drugs and to drink alcohol and to have fun. And not just that it says, you know, it comes out right away and says it's all right to do drugs, it's all right to drink alcohol, but the kids interpret the meaning of these songs to be that. And I think that they're confused. And we all know that a lot of these, the things on TV, say no to drugs, say no to alcohol, it's not really that effective. Because I think that ultimately the kids are going to follow what the rock songs say. Because these are their idols. Ozzy Osbourne, Iron Maiden, Black Sabbath, whoever it is. These are the youth idols and the teenage idols. And ultimately they're going to follow that idol's ideas and values.
I see. Well, it just, I don't like the sound of any kind of censorship. And I'd rather people decide for themselves. Because what's going to happen if you prevent people from hearing a certain thing, and then one day they hear it anyway, how are they going to react then?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you, if they know about all these different things coming from different areas and different viewpoints, they'll be encouraged simply to take it on a case-by-case basis. Now, I know that sounds kind of idealistic, and maybe it's even a bit simplistic, too, but I just think censorship can lead to much worse scenarios.
It's not only rock music that needs to be made better in this country. It's a lot of other things that need to be.
Yeah, but you see, better. That's a it's a term that that differs with every person. Some people will say this is better. Some people will say that is better. And if we have, I mean, imagine people like this preacher we've just heard, who really has no sense of what rock music is. Has the Beatles have done the worst thing for the youth of any group of people in the last 20 years?
I'm not saying that I agree with what he said about rock music in general. But some of the ideas about the wrong messages that some rock music portrays, I think, is absolutely true.
Yeah, but okay, I can agree that some rock music gives messages that could be confusing or bad. What I disagree with is how we should deal with them. And simply pulling them, it just seems too easy to just take them away and then that's the end of the problem.
Well, I think that...
Because you don't only hear those messages in rock music. I mean, you're going to hear it from people on the street, from your friends.
You hear it from all different types of music. You hear it in reggae a lot, with the Rastafarians are into drugs and smoking pot and whatever. And you hear that in that type of music and other types of music. But I think that it should be abolished, that those types of messages should be abolished in all types of music, so that our youth has something to follow, because... So those are their idols, and they're going to ultimately listen to those idols, and that's how we.
Well,
that's why we have so much drugs in this nation. And you know, I don't want to sound like I'm prejudiced, but a lot of the people that do listen to the really hardcore heavy. Kids that the high school that I graduated from. A lot of the kids that were into drugs and a lot of the kids that were into alcohol and a lot of non-kosher things, if you will, were kids who listened to the heavy metal, hardcore rock that had the wrong messages in them.
Now, you see, I think the reason a lot of kids see rock stars as their idols is because the rock stars are independent. And they say what they damn well please.
Uh-huh.
And if you have somebody regulating the rock stars and saying, well, you can't say this, how in the world are teenagers going to respect that as any kind of rebellion against authority if it's being regulated?
Uh-huh.
So my feeling is that if we let people say what they want to say, it's when they start doing things. That's when you have to take notice of the actions. Now, I just don't see it as that... I don't see that many people killing themselves because of rock music.
Uh-huh.
Or taking drugs simply because of rock music. I don't think very many people do it just because they hear it in a song. I think there's a lot more to it than that.
Well, I'm not saying that they do drugs and all of these other bad things just because they've gotten these ideas exclusively from rock music. But it certainly, I feel that it certainly does add to it. That's what I feel.
Now, how about films, TV shows, that kind of thing? Do you see the same problem there?
Well, thing. See, I'm not picking on rock music exclusively, but it is a factor. Okay, it goes along with everything else in this country. I think that this country has been based on freedom, and I think that there's too much freedom in this country, and that's why there's so many problems in this country. We have more problems than any other country in the world. But then we turn around and say that it's the best country in the world, which is true. At the same time, it's the best and worst country to live in, okay, because we have many good things here.
Well, we have the means to solve our problems. Whether or not we utilize those means
That's the whole thing. That's what we're talking about here.
But do you think one of those means is censorship or simply cutting down on what people say or are allowed to say?
It depends on what you're talking about. I think, see, because we've already said, you know, in the Constitution that the concept of free speech and being able to say what we want to say has already been censored. We're not allowed to preach the violent overthrow of the government. Okay, that's censorship right there.
Well, has that really been enforced, or have people really been preaching the violent overthrow of the government? I haven't been aware of any cases involving that.
That's what I'm saying, but it does say in the Constitution that we have free speech.
Uh-huh.
So that is, in a sense, censorship. And there's been other, you know, other laws and other things in our Constitution that do censor things that originally were in the Constitution that said we were allowed to do. I think that what we've done is censor things that the government feels appropriate. And what they don't feel appropriate nothing ever gets done about it.
Let me ask you one more thing. Do you think this will happen? Do you think action will be taken against
No,
violence?
I don't.
Why not?
I would like to see it done, but I really don't think that it's going to happen because there'll be too much rebellion against it. There's too many people listening to rock music, and too many rock music is too powerful a force, too popular an item to be abolished that quickly. It's going to take a lot more time and effort to accomplish something like that.
I see. Okay, well, thanks very much for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 632-6901, area code 516. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hey, quiet. I'm on the phone, man. Hey,
Can I help you?
Calling about, like, the guy that called and said that people who listen to hard metal rock, they're drug abusers.
Uh-huh. Well, why do I have a feeling you're going to be agreeing with him in some subtle way?
No. He didn't know what he was talking about. How can the people, just because they listen to certain kind of music, be some kind of drug abusers?
Hold on 1 second.
Hello, this is the phone mail system.
I transferred him to the psychiatry ward. Yes, that's where he belongs. 632-6901. Please give us a call. Let us know what you think of rock music and censorship and all that kind of thing. And I will read the lyrics to Suicide Solution by Ozzy Osbourne. Wine is fine, but whiskey's quicker. Suicide is slow with liquor. Take a bottle, drown your sorrows, then it floods away tomorrows. Evil thoughts and evil doings, cold alone, you hang in ruins. Thought that you'd escape the reaper, you can't escape the master keeper. Because you feel life's unreal and you're living a lie. Such a shame, who's to blame, and you're wondering why. Then you ask from your cask, is there life after birth? What you sow can mean hell on this earth. But the most I can accuse this song of being is not very rhythmical, but we'll get back to it in a couple of minutes. 632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Good evening, my name is Brendan, I'm from Medford.
Hi.
I listened to the tail end of your preacher. And,
not my preacher, but yes.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I just listened to the tail end of that and then some of the calls that came in.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a lot older than most of the callers you've had so far, so I could tell you that when I was a kid, we had hot songs like Kiss of Fire, which people, probably nobody in your audience ever heard of it, but that was considered sin of the day. Other people told us that radio was no good, it was wasting our minds, and comic books were worse. So now we're picking on rock music, and if anybody is prone to suicide, a song isn't going to do it. I mean, they're going to kill themselves anyway, one way or another. It just got nothing to do with anything. Those preachers have been saying that music and comic books, radio, television is all the end, and it has to be controlled. And in place of that, I don't know if you ever heard Christian music, but I don't think you could put up with too much of that either.
Uh-huh.
Rock or no rock, you couldn't listen to too much Christian music. It's pretty bad.
Well,
horrible.
In fact, we have a Christian rock show on this station, I believe early Sunday morning, and it was surprising to hear this preacher say that it doesn't matter what the message is inside the song if the beat is a rock beat. And that's really the first time I've actually heard that said. If the beat is a rock beat, that makes the whole thing evil.
Oh, no, that's been going on since I can remember in the 60s when people said that rock and roll had a savage beat to it. Now, these are things like, well, Little Richard singing Long Tall Sally. People said that was disgraceful. It was disgusting. It was immoral. It was lewd. And we also remember the fellow now who called up and praised Elvis Presley. But I remember the first time he came on television, they only showed him from the neck up. They wouldn't show anything lewd like gyrating or wiggling around. That was considered filthy.
Uh-huh.
So today you just have as times change, you have to have more words that are different from the songs that have been produced in the last 80 or 90 years. You just have to get into different songs. If you pay too much attention to the song's words, then there's something wrong with you anyway. It's not a, people don't have to accept the words of a song the way they do a legal writ or something like that.
Yeah, well, I think there's a difference between knowing what the words are and living by the words. I don't think any band wants its fans to go out and do everything that is said, because
it's just a bunch of
zombies.
It's not a writ, or it's not an order, a legal order. It's a song. It's entertainment. And if you're not entertained by it, don't listen to it. I don't. That's what I used to tell my parents when they told me rock and roll was no good.
Let me ask you something. Back then, when rock and roll was just starting out, and the preachers were sounding forth against it, do you feel they were more powerful then, or are they getting more power now?
No, it goes in and out. You have waves of religion, and then you have waves of non-religion. You have people fall away from churches and then go back to them. They rediscover it. We didn't have reborn Christians when I was a kid. We got them now, and those are people that maybe gave up on whatever religion they had, and they suddenly found religion, and they're into it hard, so... We had the same thing then. Some people were religious and some people weren't. It didn't. The preachers always said the same thing, that the modern music of the day, no matter what it was, whether it was swing bands, rock and roll, or heavy metal, was immoral, and it was lewd, and it was wasting our morality. Nothing really changes. It's all the same. What was daring in the 30s. People claimed was disgusting. They said rhythm like that belongs in the jungle. It doesn't belong in a civilized country. So they haven't changed any. This man just said the same thing. He said that the beat is all wrong. It doesn't belong here. It's uncivilized. It's immoral. It'll cause sin. He implied that if you go along with that beat, you'll be doing other things.
Uh-huh. Well, would he say, the preacher we heard today, would he say the same thing about that music from the 1930s as well?
Well, he wouldn't say it because he's probably old enough to think that's great music. But the older people of the time in the 1930s heard the big bands and said, that's a disgrace. It's, in the 1920s, they had very daring songs like Moonbeam, Kiss Her For Me. That was a pretty risque song of the 30s, late 20s.
Basically... we're all kind of evolving at a certain rate, and the preachers are sort of following about 30 years behind us. Is that the way it is?
Yeah, 30 to 40 years behind. They hear songs, and they say, this has a nice melody and a nice beat, and it usually runs about 30 to 40 years behind the times.
Okay. That's kind of what I suspected. So maybe in the year 2010 or something, we'll have some preachers that are into Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, all the kids of today who grew up with Ozzy Osbourne will hear something even worse in the year 2000 from what they consider Ozzy Osbourne today. I mean, it could be anything like go to bed with your robot or something. No, and in those days, people will say, well, that isn't like the good old suicide songs we heard in the 80s.
Boy,
but it doesn't really change.
I hope I live to see those days when things get so turned around, and it'd be amazing. What do you think it was that made the preachers back then fade away and not be such a bother?
They didn't fade away. There's always a section of this country that we call a Bible Belt where they're around and they're preaching that sort of thing all the time. I usually don't pay any attention to them.
I got the sense that in the 60s they just weren't as prevalent as they were in the 50s.
No, because in the 60s we went through a sort of age of revolution, and religion was on the down then. Churches were losing contributions. Churches were falling out. But then they came back later on. They go in and out of vogue.
And right now, where do you think it all stands in relation to everything?
Right now, some people are beginning to wonder what to believe in, and they're looking for reborn Christian stories. That's where, do what you want and you're forgiven. By the way, I don't believe in spirits, holy or not, so I don't take a very strong view of religion, or I just look at that as another way to make a living, and I don't even consider it an honest way to make a living. I figure that anybody who promises you, offers you an insurance policy that pays off after you die, that's a suspicious way to make a living. So
okay.
I don't really follow any religion, don't even believe in it, but the people who do believe in it will say, we'll promise you something after you die. I mean, that's just another business that like any other business. And if they pick on something, and say they have to have before four things and against things. They're for religious music, and they're picking on something that they say, or they try to blame. It's a very simplistic approach where you blame everything in the world that's wrong on the music of the day.
Well, it worked for the Ayatollah, I know that.
Well, I mean, does he want us to listen to his sacred music all day and trash rock and roll and heavy metal? For what? I mean, what? I think you'd have a nation of people who were probably so bored by that time, they might be dangerous anyway.
That's a very good point. All right, well, I want to thank you very much for calling and enlightening us on all of these things and sort of throwing the past way of looking at things into it, because I think that's very relevant.
But now, nothing has really changed. The longer you live, the more you'll come to the conclusion that nothing really changes. Everything I hear today, I heard when I was a kid. The same arguments against modern music and the same back to basics and fundamentalism, that if we didn't have comic books, radio, television, and lewd music, we wouldn't have all the trouble that we have now. And that's what I've heard all my life. And nothing has changed, and it isn't any better or worse now than it ever was before.
Well, I think I needed to hear that. That's sort of reassuring.
Okay, good night.
Thanks for calling. 632-6901, talking about fundamentalists and rock music and the gap between the two. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
I think perhaps maybe in an attempt to censor and save the kids, perhaps adults are trying to save themselves and try to deny things that are going on.
And they're doing this by trying to ban certain kinds of rock music?
Yeah, saying that it doesn't happen here, you know, that couldn't happen to my kid, blah, blah, blah.
It's nothing I've done wrong, it has to be the music, therefore.
Yeah, people are trying, like, with that kid who killed himself with an Ozzy record, or while he was listening to an Ozzy record, the whole thing of the parents, the whole view seemed to be, well, there was no problems in my kid's life. It must have been completely because of what this record said, and that makes no sense.
Uh-huh. No, you're absolutely right about that, because those same parents that are so quick to blame the music, they're the ones that make it incredibly easy for a kid to get his hands on a gun that they have in the living room or something. They're the same parents that won't write letters to newspapers and congressmen saying, why is it I can walk down the block and buy an Uzi submachine gun from a store without any kind of hassle and do it within 24 hours? I think those are more major problems than the kind of lyrics that are suggested in certain songs. And that's certainly more direct as far as killing yourself. Being able to get a hold of things like that and being almost encouraged to. That's really pretty scary that we live in a society like that.
Well, it's going after the little guy, basically. I mean, it's too much bother to go, you know, because we've got the right to bear arms, and you got all these gunslingers who are going to complain if you try to take their guns away. It's going after the little guy. It's going after the people, like the independent musicians, who are the ones who are doing, who have mainly the lewd music and stuff like that.
Well, that's why Jello Biafra and Dead Kennedys got hit first, because they didn't...
They were cost-effective.
Yeah, that's exactly how he said it, cost-effective. Oh, well, thanks very much for calling.
Okay, just...
Go ahead.
Just the thing that I sort of noticed, which is kind of funny.
Yeah?
When I left 6 weeks ago to go away, you guys were talking about censorship, and you're still on it.
Well, no, we actually went away from it for a while, and then we came back.
Ah.
We've had a couple of very silly shows in between, but, yeah, tonight we got the tape that we ordered a few weeks ago, so we just had to play that, and we're going to play more of it in weeks to come.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage. Speak. You see, you have to speak. No, you have to speak to be on the radio. You can't be on the radio and just look at us. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to talk about these maniacs that want to outlaw rock and roll.
Okay, talk about them.
They can't keep crack off the streets and they want to ban rock and roll?
Well, maybe it's an easier challenge.
They're crazy. I mean, they'll just get the records from Canada or something, you know? They'll make them somewhere else, and they'll sell illegal records on the corner.
Well, there'll still be an import record section, I'm sure. And as we were saying last week, films in Europe tend to be more open and longer and have less censorship in them than they are here. Probably the same thing would take place with records then. So, yeah, you wouldn't be cutting it off completely. And interesting point, this only seems to be a problem in the United States. This kind of music is popular all over the world, but yet you don't hear about these kind of mess-ups involving kids and drugs and suicide. It only seems to be here, and I think that tells us something about the society, not the music.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't matter. Even if it was, like, look in Russia. It's the hottest thing on the black market is probably Michael Jackson tapes or something, you know?
That and Rambo films, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. You can't put a stop to it. Doesn't matter.
And it doesn't really change things. People are interested in
If you're going to shoot yourself, you're not going to do it because you hear it on a record, you know?
Right. Right. You will be predisposed, or whatever that word is, to
do it. That's not going to drive you over the edge. You know, if you're a nut to begin with, you're just a nut. You know, the music ain't going to make you crazy.
Uh-huh. Well, why are you a nut? That's the question they should be asking. That's what we've been saying.
So, you know, I don't know.
So I take it you don't agree with the preacher.
That guy should be banned, if anything.
Well, the thing is now, you know, he has every right to say what he wants to say and everything like that. But when people like that start getting a little too powerful, and when things start changing because of them and what they say, when you start seeing Playboy being pulled from 7-Eleven because evangelists don't like it, that's when you have to start standing up and saying something and addressing the issue. Because if you just sit back and laugh at the whole thing, pretty soon there won't be anything to laugh about, because it can happen. It can be very effective, and these folks know what they're doing.
Yeah, I guess they almost got Pat Robertson elected.
Yeah, the PMRC, made up of senators' wives. They have a lot of knowledge about how to get laws enacted, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
And they want to ban certain record albums and rate every record album, so you have to take that seriously.
Sir Gore, who would listen to anybody whose first name is Tipper?
Well, all that aside, it's a serious matter. You have to take it seriously. They say funny things, and we can all laugh at the silly things they say, but they're scary people.
Yeah, well, we got Zappa sticking up for us.
Yeah, we do. I haven't heard what he's been saying lately. I haven't heard anything from him, actually. Is he still on the warpath?
Oh, he got up there in front of Congress and all, you know.
Uh-huh.
No, he made a fool out of all those people.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Okay, where are you calling from, sir?
I'm calling from Kings Park.
Kings Park. Okay, well, thanks very much for calling in.
All right. Well,
bye-bye.
See you later.
Okay. Another person with laughter in the background. Well, we have lots of those tonight. In fact, we've even had some laughter of our own in the background. I've heard it. 632-6901 is our phone number. Actually, I shouldn't be giving out the phone number because we're out of time, but if anyone wants to race to their phones really quickly and get one last word in, I might close an eye to the time just so that you can have your say. And while you're racing to the phone, if in fact you're doing that, let me finish reading this this Ozzy Osbourne song, Suicide Solution. Now you live inside a bottle, the Reaper's traveling at full throttle. It's catching you, but you don't see. The Reaper is you, and the Reaper is me. Breaking laws, knocking doors, but there's no one at home. Made your bed, rest your head, but you lie there and moan. Where to hide? Suicide is the only way out. Don't you know what it's really about? Repeat first verse. Now, I don't know about that. I don't know if that's going to drive anyone over the edge there that isn't already slightly over the edge. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Yes. I'm calling about what you just said. You had the Suicide Solution on.
Go ahead.
Oh, that's really strange, sir. But what I am calling, I am in Havrug.
You're where?
In Havrug.
Okay, I'll let it go. Go ahead.
I call Mac. Havrug.
I understand. I understand perfectly. He's going to have somebody laughing in the background, I'll bet. Go ahead.
Oh, pardon. I listened to this album. I do not like this album. I do not...
Why did you listen to this album?
Well, someone had it, so I listened to it. You are wrong.
Okay.
Well, don't get argumentative.
Okay.
Okay. So I've listened to the album. I don't like the album, and I turned the album off. So there should be no censorship. They should let them play it. If you don't like the album, don't turn it on. Many, many, many people don't listen to the Ventures anymore.
Many people don't.
No, and they are good, but that's only in your opinion.
Now, if I hear a case where people are being forced to listen to this album, I'll certainly be one of the first people to speak up against that kind of thing happening. But I, to the best of my knowledge, that is not happening. People still have freedom of choice. And as long as that is the case, I will live by that rule, and I hope other people will too.
There are people buying the album. That's why the man is on all the time. All the time on MTV.
Uh-huh.
They love him. They think the kids will love him. That is a problem, because I think that, it's like certain music... certain music is underground, like Zappa.
Uh-huh.
Frank Zappa. He was underground for a long time.
Underground for a long time, but now he's out.
Oh, he's out. But he's not selling much anymore either.
Well, he hasn't put out much lately, so that could be a reason for that. He's been kind of tied up in all this PMRC nonsense.
No. The curated interest is when he is underground. Once he is up above.
Well, you can only stay underground for a while until you get successful, and then, you know, you really can't stay underground very long if you're successful. And then you sort of lose whatever magic you had, you know?
But you come up, the minute you come up, they say, he is not underground, and they don't think it's funny anymore. They don't think it's interesting. It's not.
Oh, it's not. It's different. It's completely different when you're not underground. Yeah. There's a whole aura to being underground. But that's another show. That's another topic. We have to go now, but thanks very much for calling.
I'm glad to call.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Nobody laughing in the background. I'm surprised. Well, that's it. We're finished for tonight. That's the program, Brain Damage. We'll be back again next week from 10 to 12. Don't know what we'll be talking about. We'll see if anything comes up in the news or in our personal lives. But the issue of censorship and rock music is a prevailing one that we'll always be concerned with. So if you have letters or things to send to us, other interesting tapes, our address, WUSB, State University of Stony Brook, Stony Brook, New York, 11794. Thanks for your calls. We'll see you again next week. Stay tuned for The Brothers and Lobotomy here on WUSB, Stony Brook.
Of the grass, the lunatic is on the grass. Remembering games, daisy chains, and laughs. Got to keep the lunatic off the path. The lunatic is in the hall. The lunatics are in my hall. The paper holds their bonehead faces to the floor. And every day the paper boy brings more. Not me.